Hello, thank you for tuning in. You are listening to BiteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.biteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Tara Janelle Welsh. She is author of Soul Courage, Watch What Happens. It's fairly widely understood that life is about more than the experiences of the body and the mind, but takes a special kind of commitment to also engage one's soul in our day-to-day encounters. Those willing to make this remarkable choice can raise the vibration of every one of those encounters. Even their momentary or seemingly insignificant exchanges with others, to a level that touches the heart of our very reason for being alive, allowing us to come alive in ways that can utterly transform our entire journey upon this earth. Tara Janelle Welsh is the founder and spirit behind Solibrate Greeting Card Company, the cards of which are being sold in hundreds of stores worldwide, carrying messages of encouragement and empowerment. She also speaks publicly about the personal development program she created called Soulshalize that increases emotional awareness and inspires others to live soul first, which she believes creates soul connection and has the ability to enrich the world at large. You can find out more by visiting Tara's website, which is www.soulcourage.com, and I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So there, I'd like to welcome Tara to the show. Good day, Tara.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It is my pleasure, and I'm looking forward to speaking with you. I enjoyed reading Soul Courage. It's a very easy read, and also has some wonderful health hints for people to make their life experience better. And so that I really enjoy that.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah, I love when people say it's an easy read. That was one of my main goals, but meaningful.
Yeah, exactly. It's very simple. Well, first of all, I guess we should probably start with soul courage. What is soul courage? So would you mind explaining to the listeners what it is and how we can attain it?
Yes. Well, soul courage is that place inside all of us that is deeply loyal to who we are, the place that sometimes feels scary and freeing at the same time. You know that place. Everyone knows that place if you think about it. If you feel into it, it's almost as though there's another person inside of you. Some people call it the watcher. It's been called many names, but it comes from, I believe, a place in our soul. And it's a sense of courage, but it's unlike the regular courage in the world where we're just trying to face our fears. It's a different kind of courage. It's the kind of courage that allows us to fully feel into who we are, and with pride and with excitement and sometimes some scariness, but knowing we can overcome it and believing in ourselves. And when we trust in this place enough to live from it, there's so much freedom to be found. It just gives us even more freedom to bring all of who we are to our life and to share it openly with others.
Yeah. I believe you mentioned in the book that we all are kind of born with it and that as children are freely exhibited.
Yeah. And that's the cool thing about soul courage. It's not like, well, how can I get it? Or what do I have to do to have it? Everyone has soul courage because everyone is a soul and the soul encompasses the essence of all of life. But here's the glitch. To have courage and be courageous are two different things. Having courage is courage in hibernation, while being courageous is waking courage up. So although we have it, it's often asleep, so we must activate it. And the first step in activating our soul courage is just being aware of it, just knowing it's there.
Yeah. Now, Is it during the process of like socialization that the child who maybe freely exhibits it then kind of goes to a point of hiding it or not that lacking that free expression, and then we kind of have to go full circle then to kind of remove those limits that are placed on us or that we allow to be placed on us?
That's precisely what I believe. Yes, Robert. I believe that as, you know, when we grow up, our parents are doing what they believe is the right thing and telling us to, you know, stop crying, let it roll off our back, go to our room, inhibiting us, you know, hushing us, muffling us. And then it only, that's just the beginning. Then we go to school and we get a magnified version of that from all the peers our age and even the teachers at some level. So we are being, in a sense, guided away from trusting our inner compass. And I would love to change that with the next generation. Of course, you know, one person can't, so it's going to take a village, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, it can be done one person at a time, you know. But you know, it was interesting. You had the example in your book of when you were growing up as a child, your mother. If you had some kind of crying episode, then she would send you to your room and kind of tell you to get it out.
Yes,
and then
she did.
Come back.
She always did. And I'm not condoning that that's the right thing to do, because I kind of think that that's sad when I reflect on it. But I did learn a very valuable gift from that, from the process of her not letting me have tantrums in public. And being sent to my room gave me time for reflection. It gave me time to think about and identify what it was I'm feeling. I'd write in my diary, I'd cry and sniffle, I'd just be with myself. When I cry, I'm just reacting to the moment. Or have a tantrum when you're young, you're reacting. Some adults still do it. It doesn't matter how old you are. But reacting is just that knee-jerk reaction. But being able to sit with your feelings and identify them and go, oh, okay, so that's how I feel. Gosh, I was just bummed out, Mom. You know, she'd say, come back and join the world, you know, in 20 minutes. And I'd go back and I'd kind of get it. I kind of would say, I was just hurt that my sister, whatever, took the toy from me. Or I'm sure it was larger issues than that. But yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, when I read that, I thought, I found it, I liked that. You know, I mean, to me, there were the elements. I know, I understand, you know, kind of not doing it in public and that kind of aspect. But what I really liked about that, it was that she didn't really try and stop you from the experience, the feeling experience, you know, but kind of directing you to a place for you to do that. And then, you know, the coming back into the world. I mean, to me, that was like, but that's great direction. I mean, it's kind of, you know, it acknowledges the feeling, you know, and encourages that. But then it also recognizes that, you know, there's a point for that to end and, you know, to come and, you know, rejoin the living.
Right. Or, yeah, the wonderful thing is, you're right, that she didn't silence me. She allowed me to not only feel it and identify it, but release it through expression. So all that energy was not trapped in my body. It was permitted to just come out, however I did it, you know, crying or writing my diary or whatever. And coming back into the real world, you know, I don't know. There's some things I might have done differently if I were. But for that age, you know, for that era, pretty good. But it did teach me.
Good,
it did give me a gift.
Yeah, well, you know, and it's just one of those. I mean, obviously, you know, all of the interactions aren't going to be perfect. You know, parent-child especially. You know, there are times, but I think that, you know, as long as a parent, you know, tries their best, recognizes, you know, that they're doing their best, and you know, really just encourages the child. You know, overall, you know, it's kind of like a, you know, I mean, even though there may be some kinds of interactions that may have an impact on us in the future, you know, kind of restraining us. But even though that may be the case, you know, I think that as long as a parent overall allows the child, you know, to be expressive, to be supportive of the child, recognize, you know, their own little individuality, then it's a good thing.
Yeah, and the important thing is whatever it is, whether it's a child and a parent or something completely different, to recognize the gift in things. And to, you know, because once you recognize the gift in it, then you're growing. You're growing into that experience all over again, and you're seeing how it's shaped you. And that's the one of the most important aspects of that. But that's not really, I don't even really discuss that in the book. That's just a little side talk.
Yeah. Well, you know, there is, in the book you talk about, there is a moment of our life's most important realization, speaking of realization. So let's talk about that. What is that most important realization?
The moment of our life's most important realization is when we're suddenly not on autopilot anymore. And I think probably all the listeners would be able to relate to this. It's like almost fuzzy when you think about when you were younger and you would just, even when we were in our 20s, we'd just go to work, we'd go to school, come home, eat dinner. Our level of awareness and consciousness was not elevated to the point that we knew there was something more. And then something happens at some point in our lives. One day, it's just like, the biggest aha in the world. And we get it. We realize that we're not our bodies. We're not our minds. We're a soul living in the vehicle of our body. We get that it's not about our job or our children or what we're wearing or how thin we are or any of the stuff that our mind loves to distract and preoccupy us with, but that, like, oh, my gosh, there's something more going on here. And that realization changes, opens up a complete new doorway to awareness that I believe connects you with yourself at a soul level. Starts
yeah,
process.
You know,
starts things to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to say that, you know, quite often people who have a dramatic event that has to happen in their life, a lot of times that is a kind of like a key moment, you know, when that realization happens. But it doesn't necessarily have to happen, you know, through a dramatic or a traumatic event. But quite often that doesn't, and I think we all have seen people who have gone through that, and then, you know, from that point forward, they're completely a different person, completely different perspective
yep.
of life.
Absolutely, and that's what happened to me, Robert. In fact, pre my, like, dramatic experience, I knew that life was more, like, conceptually. In my mind, I knew, okay, it's not just about, you know, going to school and getting good grades and the friends that we have and, you know, the guy that I'm going to meet. I knew that it was more just because of the atmosphere and the family that I was raised in. I just knew that. But I didn't know it at a level of really feeling it and being it. And in my late 20s, I had an eating disorder for probably 7 years plus, and it threw me into a deep, dark depression. And I went to the hospital and was hospitalized. And when I got out of the hospital a couple months later, it was like I walked through time. It was almost like Twilight Zone-ish-y. It was like I felt
mm-hmm.
so raw. Yeah, really. You know when you go to a movie, like a long movie, maybe even a matinee in the middle of the day, and then you step out of the theater and it's light outside, and you were so entrenched in the story and in the darkness, and you weren't hearing anyone around you when you're sitting in the theater. You're just glued to the screen. And then it's over, and you get up and you walk out, and you're like, oh, yeah, life again. It almost takes you a moment to blah, 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 find your keys and, you know, it was like that, like magnified 100 times over when I stepped out of the hospital. I was like, oh, wow. Okay. And that was when I really felt it. I didn't just know it.
Yeah. You know, and I think, you know, one of the things you talk about throughout the book, you know, is the importance of feeling, the feeling, you know, and the emotion of it, and really how vital that is to the whole process of life, you know, and like you say, you know, feeling it versus knowing it. I mean, those are two very distinctly different perspectives.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you why that I feel that there's great importance on feeling. I feel that way because for me, the whole reason that the soul comes, I feel that the soul actually even comes into physical form so that it can experience a sense of oneness, so it can experience all the pains and all the joys and all the ups and all the downs and everything that all the humans experience, and have this sense of unity and oneness that it knows already conceptually, that it's known for many lifetimes on a conceptual level. But then it comes into the body, if you will, these are just my thoughts, and it does so with an agenda so that it can feel everything. And so that's why there's so much emphasis on the book for it, because it feels like we're missing the boat sometimes in life. We get so caught up in doing, and now with technology being on, you know, hyper high mode, it's like we're losing ourselves a little bit. And you know, without sounding dramatic, it's a little scary. It's like it's now almost becoming old fashioned to sit down at the coffee table or the kitchen table and talk and just look at each other.
Yeah, it is, you know, and you know, I mean, I understand what you're saying, you know, that's kind of your idea of you know, why the soul comes in, you know, and I've often pondered, you know, the idea of, you know, why, you know, I mean, if I'm part of this all one, you know, and then this, you know, experience, why would my soul want to kind of detach in a way, you know, or at least have the perception of detachment, and then go through all of these experiences, you know, and it seems that the one thing that continues to exist beyond the physical existence is those emotional connections, be they good or bad, but it's those emotional connections with other souls that seem to go on and exist, you know. So to me, it's like, you know, that's we come here to create those things that are going to last with us, you know, from here to eternity.
Absolutely. And when we feel fully whatever we're feeling and we express those feelings, undoubtedly that brings connection. If we're alone, it brings us connection with ourself or life or divine or the universe or God or whatever you believe in. And if we're with other people, most certainly feeling and expressing those feelings is going to bring us a deeper connection with the other person. So in that connection is what the soul craves, feeling connected and feeling unity and feeling oneness. So that's my belief.
Yeah, I agree. Now, in the book, you also talk about every person facing the same decision at the same moment. And what would that decision be?
In every single waking moment, everyone in the world is deciding the exact same thing. Everyone in the world is making the exact same decision. And that is, how much of me am I willing to share? How much of me am I willing to share with myself? Whether I'm going to numb out, and even when I'm completely alone, am I going to put a movie on? Am I going to distract myself with one or many things, which I call resistance techniques, whether it's grabbing a cigarette or whether it's grabbing a glass of, you know, alcohol, or whether it's doing drugs, or whether it's over excessive texting or being on Facebook for hours or online or gaming. There's a million things that can be a resistant technique. Now, I'm not talking about stripping our lives of all these things. Of course, it's nice to go out and have a glass of wine with a friend or play a game or watch a movie from time to time, but I'm talking about when we use it to distract ourselves. And that is almost a numbing technique. It's a resistance technique. And it's separation between us and our soul. So the thing that every single person is facing is, how much of me am I going to share with me, and also how much of me am I going to share with others? Am I going to look others in the eye? Am I going to really listen to people with all of my presence in my heart and connect with them? Am I going to smile and just be with people? Or am I going to be in my own world and cloak and mask myself and protect myself? So how much of me am I willing to share is the decision that everyone is faced with, I believe, in every waking moment.
Yeah, you know, and one of the things, you know, you mentioned, you know, the resistance techniques. I found, you know, that the idea of that, I was fascinated by that. You know, I was kind of, you know, when I was reading the book, I got to that point and then I paused. You know, and of course, you started naming all of these things that were resistance techniques. Oh, yes. Oh, man, I'm really resisting here. What am I resisting? You know, and but I mean, I think that's the intent of, you know, of your book in a way, for us to sit back and then examine our lives and look at areas where, you know, we are with ourselves and sharing ourselves, and then those areas where we're hiding that or cloaking that or, you know, being diverted from that, you know, with these different techniques. So anyway, that was one area that I know I'm going to carry with me from your book, just as I go through life and look at these different things that I do, and, you know, if it appears that I'm resisting, you know, it's going to make me sit back and, you know, question, you know, and I think that just that increased awareness was going to help me be more present.
Absolutely, absolutely. Something as small as that, and I'm so happy to hear you say that. Because it's true. I mean, and once again, I'm not saying not for anyone to ever do these things. We all know what the difference is, you know, between having a drink or watching a movie and doing it to just escape something. And the more aware we are of it, the more we can, just as you said, just stop and quietly check in with ourselves and ask ourselves, what might we be resisting to feel in this moment? Because feeling is scary. It really is. And my resistance technique, it can be, surprisingly. And I'm not just talking about the sad or angry feelings. I mean, even the joyful feelings. I find myself sometimes, even after all this work that I've been doing on this, holding my joy back from myself, feeling something exciting and then being scared it'll go away. So not, you know, and then I'm so aware of it now. That's the only difference, that now I go, okay, hold on. Stop for a moment, and then I jump up and down and dance or do whatever I need to do to express it so I can step into it. And it's amazing how free it feels. It really is. So I'm working on my resistance techniques too, and it was food. That was my biggie, the withholding of it and the abusing of it. But I'm happy to say that it's not anymore.
That's great. You know, you talked about that joy, that aspect, and there was also a point when you talked about how important it was to feel the joy, and how some people, maybe if they have a good thing happen, and I love you're very current with your example, would jump to Facebook and put up a post on there about something joyful, and, you know, and maybe not get a reaction, and then there's like a letdown that nobody is sharing my joyful moment. What is this? You know, rather than recognize that it's really important to internalize that and just feel it for yourself. And it really doesn't matter whether other people feel the same joy. It's most important is what you feel.
Absolutely. That's so true. And I talk about that in the book, you know, what do I do with my pain? Asking ourselves to take a look and ask ourselves that. And also, what do I do with my joy? And you hit it right on the head. That's why so many times when we share something joyful with another person and we don't get the reaction we expected, you know, we'll call someone immediately or Facebook it. And then if we don't get the reaction we expected, we feel let down and it curtails our own exuberance. And it's kind of like, why aren't we just feeling it first? What is holding us back from totally experiencing and feeling that joy?
Yeah. It's kind of like it seems that we're looking for, I guess, permission from others to be able to feel that, you know, or recognition of it being real, you know, that if somebody else says, you know, someone else is joyful about it. I mean, you know, these are just, I think, you know, possibilities why maybe, you know, we, some people, and we, I'm guilty of that, going to that, would take that route first rather than really internalizing it.
Yeah, well, yeah. People are inclined to steer clear of someone who's feeling painful emotions because they themselves are probably trying to escape their own painful emotions. And likewise with the joyful ones. People, you know, they like to see other people happy, but if someone's really happy, they usually wish to steer clear of them as well, because they wish they were experiencing their happiness and joy so fully. So it is a little dance that I feel that we do sometimes, and I actually call it energy matching. Later in the book, I write about that and about all the ways that we try to match the energies of others. Actually, we don't try. We do it, I believe, unconsciously, in order to maintain a harmonic relationship with others and gain the approval of them so that we can continue to create a connection with them. And it's just so interesting, the more aware you are of this, to even watch your own self and to then decide to own yourself after you are aware of it and it comes up and you're like, wow, now why did I go along with that when I don't feel that way at all? Well, why would I say that? Well, I guess I didn't want to upset the apple cart. I guess I wanted to make sure that she still, you know, I still got her approval. So she still think I'm cool or we'd still have a connection. But, you know, I think it's the opposite.
I see that often, you know, when, and it's, you know, there is that fear of judgment, rejection, criticism, you know, all of those kinds of things. But ultimately, we're really doing ourselves a disfavor by not being authentic.
Absolutely. Right. But, you know, it takes courage. It takes courage to come out and be your true self. It does. It takes courage to speak up. In a loving way. I'm not talking about blurting out all this stuff, but to just own ourselves, to own it and to honor and to be loyal to us. It takes courage.
I agree. Well, gosh, Tara, we're about halfway through the show, so I want to take just a quick 90-second break here, and I do want to invite people listening, if you would like to call in and ask Tara any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those of you listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions, feel free to post to type them in, and we will get to them right after the break. So, and when we come back from the break, Tara, I want to start to explore your sacred formula. That sacred formula. Okay. Everyone, stay tuned. We'll be right back after this break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us, and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link to the approximately 1,000 shows that we have had over the past 5 years. Our show is available as a free podcast in the iTunes Store. You can subscribe there, or even quicker, there is a link to our show on iTunes on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, etc., and we have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. And finally, also on the site is a link to the great products we provide: books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store with essential oils and personal and spa products. There is so much for you to explore and enjoy on our website, www.biteradio.me. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone. Again, today my very special guest is Tara Janelle Walsh, and we've got Tara back. Hello, Tara.
Hey.
Hey there. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and talk about the sacred formula that you talk about in your book.
Yeah, well, when I got out of the hospital, and I actually realized that I had been numbing my emotions out using my resistance technique, I started experiencing the freedom in feeling for the first time in, I couldn't even remember how long. And it was like, oh my God, really? It felt so raw to actually just feel. But it wasn't just the feeling. It was the expression of the feeling, too, that was so freeing. And I noticed that it wasn't that only expressing good feelings that felt great. It was actually the physical act of expression itself around any emotion, just the release of emotion that brought me back to life. And that started to make me feel more connected with myself. I literally felt more, when I say more alive, I don't mean alive like Jumpin' Jack Flash and, you know, the life of the
right,
party.
Yeah.
I just mean alive in that, like, it's not like, hello, McFly, like I was before for so long, just kind of, you know, really not present. I was there, and I was feeling, and I was expressing, and I felt connected. I felt connected to the thing we call life, and I felt connected to life source. And I felt connected to my soul. And when I was feeling and expressing with others, I felt more connected to them. And so that became, for me, what I now call the sacred formula. Feel, express, pie, simple as, you know, a chocolate sundae, for sure. It sounds like, oh, really? Feel, express, connect? But it is. Mm-hmm. When you step into it, it is just amazing, and it opened my life in a really big way. Of course, I didn't trust it at first when I thought, this is it. I was doubting myself left and right, thinking, wait a minute. This is nothing. You know, you're just got out of the hospital and you're just feeling the reflection of having been, you know, kept in somewhere for so long. Maybe you don't know what you're talking about. So I decided, all right, hold on. I'm going to test this theory out. You know, this sacred formula. I'm going to test it out. And I did a little test with my mom and some friends. And then I even went so far as to go out into the public and test things with strangers just to see if I was on to something, you know, if the whole feel, express, connect thing was as groundbreaking as I thought. And sure enough, I discovered that people are just yearning to be seen and to connect through all of my little tests that I did. And ever since, I've gotten nothing but reinforcement from that as well.
Yeah. So when you say tested it like with family members, your mom, exactly what did that look like? I mean, you know, because right now, you know, I think people are maybe not so sure about, you feel, express, and connect. So what is an example of what would that look like? You know, if someone were to want to test that with people in their circle, what are maybe a couple of examples of what that would look like?
Gotcha. Well, I'll just tell you a little snippet of how I tested it for myself. And I don't think that people need to test it. I was just saying that this is the process that I went through in my own personal journey where I discovered it. But when I first tried it out, which is silly to even say out loud now because I don't even try it out. It's just part of who I am. But when I was first conscious of it, and that's pretty much what it was, just being super conscious and intentional about feeling, expressing, and knowing that it leads to a connection, trusting that. And so driving over to my mom's house, I just kind of had my mind, you know, I had my thoughts in it and had my heart open and just felt confident and intentional that I wanted to make a connection with her. So instead of just breezing in her house, say, ordinarily and having lunch and, you know, flipping through a catalog and asking how she was doing and thinking about what I was going to do when I left or getting up for another cup of coffee or letting my mind try to roll. Instead of any of that, I sat down. I intentionally looked at her, gave her eye contact. I was present with her. I asked her how she was feeling. I listened to her, but I didn't just listen to her with my ears. I didn't just hear the words she was saying. I felt the words she was saying. And you know the difference. You know what I'm talking about, Robert, when you are listening to someone or when you're really...
Right.
Yeah,
you're
I became
almost, not just hearing.
Right, maybe, perhaps. And I felt what she was saying to the point where I actually shed a couple tears. And I was with her. I was feeling with her. And then the most amazing expression came out of me, out of nowhere. You know, how like every now and then, wow, where did that insight come from? Well, it came from, I believe, me being connected with myself at a deeper level and from feeling with her at that level. And then I expressed myself and she gave me the biggest hug. And she was just like, you are such an amazing daughter and friend. And I just felt so connected with her. Things were said and the experience we had, as simple as it sounds, made me feel like, wow, how come I haven't had a connection like this with my own mother in I can't remember when? Yeah. And then I thought, wait a minute. This is too simple. And if she is your mom, maybe you should test it out again. So I tested the same thing out with a friend of mine. And she wasn't going through anything emotionally painful. This was the flip side. She was going through something joyful. So I was feeling into her joy with her. I wasn't just going, oh, that's great. I was really feeling it where I was almost getting butterflies myself. I was like, oh, my God, that's awesome. I was lighting up, and I was just, like, with her. I felt connected. And the same thing happened. She was like, wow. You're such an amazing friend. I just feel so alive and real with you. I feel like you're just with me when we're together. And it was like, boom. And then I was like, how could this feel so magical? Something so simple. But, you know, in this day and age, when people are on autopilot, it was that simple. And I proved that to myself. And then I went so far as to go into the department store and exercise the same thing with perfect strangers in a different way, of course, not sitting down with them, but holding my head up high and looking at them and talking to strangers, taking a moment to say, great sale, huh? Or how are you doing today? And you know, I even stop and, you know, I get into conversations with people at stores and they for some reason break down and hug me and cry and give me their number and just feel connected with me. Mm-hmm. That's how amazing it is. So those are some easy, everyday, daily examples of how to move into the sacred formula.
Yeah. And you had a wonderful survey in your book that you had done with checkout sales clerks too. And to me that I really enjoyed looking at the questions asked, the percentages, you know, given, because we all have that kind of encounter, you know, generally multiple times a day, and to recognize that we really have an opportunity to make that soul connection, constantly.
Great. And the question again arises in every waking moment, how much of me am I willing to share? And so I'm not saying be chatty Cathy. I'm saying the opposite. Don't be coming from our, it's not about just chatting all the time. It's about really being present with wherever we are. Even if we're at the sales counter, like the example in my book, and noticing how someone's doing, asking them how their day is going, looking them in the eye and using their name as if they're a real person because they are, you know, seeing them.
Yeah.
And sharing ourselves, not just staying preoccupied and distracted and protected.
Yeah, I agree. Now, this formula, the sacred formula of feel, express, and connect, you also have it translated, I guess, or in another version in soul language with solitude, soul render, and soul shine. I love the word, play that you do with that.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about, each of those soul perspectives?
Absolutely. Well, feel, express, connect is the sacred formula, but I love to just put special names on things, and it probably drives some people crazy. Sorry, but I can't help it. I just get excited about being clever and creative. So what I've now dubbed feel as is solitude. And what I've dubbed express as is soul render, and connect as socialize. And I give examples. I actually have a chapter on each one of them. And the solitude chapter is when we go in and identify how we're feeling. And whether we are, taking some time to ourselves consciously, like going out on the back deck with a cup of tea and just really listening to the breeze and smelling the leaves and hearing the birds and looking at the beautiful trees, or whether we're just doing things that we are always doing, but we're more aware, like going to pick our kids up, or what we can take solitude anywhere. It doesn't always have to be a big retreat, because it's inside. It's about basically allowing ourselves more and more opportunity to visit with ourselves and to identify our feelings in that moment, whatever they are. And the soul render is the expression
Before we go to soul render, I just wanted to, when you were talking about solitude, one of the things, of the points you made in that particular section is to, for people to be aware that it's not isolation. There's like a difference between solitude and isolating oneself, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Solitude does not mean solitude. It does not mean being alone physically, because we can actually be out and about, and we've all seen these people, and in fact, we've all probably been this person. Everyone, no matter how extroverted you are, we can be out in a big crowd of people and be isolating ourselves. So it's not about being out physically, it's about being out internally. You know, I'm sorry. Not solitude. Solitude is about being in internally, but it's way different than isolation. It's not about pushing people away. It's about going within.
Yeah. And that was just one of those distinctions that I thought was really important, because sometimes, I mean, the whole idea of isolation is going, you know, contrary to the idea of being out there and putting yourself out there and being, you know, a part of, you know, the world, that feeling aspect. So I'm sorry. Now, the express part, and you talk about, call that soul render. So let's talk about soul render.
The express part is soul render, because, you know, it's one thing to feel our feelings, but if we don't express them, then the energy of them, since feeling emotions are energy in motion, the energy of them gets stuck in our body. So expressing feelings, surrendering to the expression of our emotions, is crucial, I believe, to overall health and well-being, if not to creating a connection. And when we surrender to the expression of a feeling, that's why I call it soul render, we go within and we have identified how we feel and we surrender to it. It is so cathartic, however we're expressing it, whether we're expressing it alone in our journal, whether we're expressing it directly with another person, heart to heart, verbally, but it doesn't have to be verbal. It could be crying, it can be laughing, just letting it out, releasing it, surrendering to it.
Yeah. And in your book, you also talk about our defaults, and how replacing them is part of the soul rendering. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, what I call our default is our go-to energy. It's like our knee-jerk reaction to how we're going to feel without thinking when something new happens. Like the very first reaction that we have to events in our life. Almost, if we can think about it, as a recycled response. It's borrowed from feelings and experiences that we had in the past, like how we felt, for an example, how we might have felt when our father said no, or our boyfriend broke up with us, or something. Then when we have a new experience and someone says anything that feels at all abandoning or hurtful in that same way, it just triggers that recycled response. And without even feeling into it and identifying what we're feeling, the solitude portion, we just automatically, kind of like we used to when we were younger. And that this was all in the soul render chapter. And it can get tricky when we're trying to be conscious of soul rendering to expressing our feelings. Because we think a lot of the time, okay, I'm surrendering to the expression of this feeling. We're being conscious of it, and we think we're doing the inner work. But a lot of times it's just recycled responses. And that, I think, is when we bang our head up against the wall. We're like, God, I feel like I'm doing so much work on myself. Why is this stuff not working. Mm-hmm. What's the deal? Mm-hmm. But if we actually sit back and we're honest with ourselves and we have the courage to look at, well, hold on a second. Did you really feel that through? Or were you just reacting the same way you reacted when this happened 2 years ago, the same way you reacted when this happened last week or when this happened when you were four? Or were you present with it enough to identify that it's a different experience and express it in a new way? And that's the difference between surrendering and just going to our default, allowing our default to run our expression.
Yeah, I agree. And there was one other area that in the surrender that I really like. You talked about intentional catharsis. You know, you talked a little bit about, you know, that kind of that moment of release, intense release. But to have an intentional catharsis, I think is, I think that's a great way for people to be able to be active in being able to transform energy.
It is, and it's also a really great way to create more awareness around expression, to intentionally set out to have a good cry or laugh, just completely snort, laugh crazy with your eyes crying, you know, or scream, mm-hmm. or not mute ourselves, in other words, not muffle ourselves or tone down, but to let it out. And it makes us, sadly, a lot of the times it reminds me that I don't do it often enough, or I did, especially so in the beginning when I became aware of this. I was like, God, that felt good. Like watching a sad movie and just crying.
Right.
When I'm alone, I especially get it all out. There's this movie called Hachi. If anyone has ever seen it, they'll know what I mean. It's got Richard Gere in it. And it's like, oh, my God. I just cry with snot and tears like crazy when I watch that movie. And it just feels great to release that expression.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and to be able to fully express versus having that little sniffle or maybe, you know, quickly wiping the eye, you know, the tear from the eye, and mm-hmm. you know, just allowing the tears to just roll down. And and then the last aspect is the soul eyes, and you have five guides for socializing. Can we maybe talk about them kind of quickly here?
Sure. Well, the word that I dubbed connect for is socialize, and I love it. I love the concept of socializing. It basically is the act of just fully and genuinely connecting with ourselves, others, and life with our body, mind, and soul activated together, intentionally engaging in the expression of our feelings. And, you know, it might sound like a lot like, well, you do that, but do we? Do we do that? Are we conscious of that? And it's way different than socializing. Socializing is not at all socializing. It's not about being an extrovert or going out all the time and being the life of the party. Socializing is not about being a social person. It's about being a soulful person. It's about having your outside. It's not about going out. It's about having your inside mm-hmm. come out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's. I love that idea. Go ahead. I'm sorry. So let's. We're down to like 7 minutes here. So I wanted to make sure we got guides. That's okay.
Oh, rats. Okay. So yeah, I came up with these guides and why? Because people were asking me, you know, what? Gosh, you've changed. What are you doing? Blah blah blah. And all the answers I were giving them were just too trite. So I thought, what do I do? Mm-hmm. What are the things that I do when I move and engage in socializing? And the five guides that I came up with are willingness, vulnerability, gratitude, intention, and presence. And you know, they all align with not only socializing, but with life, I'm sure everyone will find when they read into them more and how they dovetail into socializing. Did you want me to give a snippet on each?
Yeah. Why don't we go ahead? We have time for that. Yeah, I definitely would like for people to know just a little bit about that so that they can get your book and find out more.
Right. So willingness, basically, when we're willing is like willingness is the gateway to anything. opening up and trusting ourselves with others, that's not always easy. But when we at least have the willingness, even if we're willing to be willing, we're being willing. But that is flowing with the current energetically. When we're not willing, when we're resistant, and when we're feeling like, I don't want to open up, or I don't feel like it, or we have our mask or our cloak on, or we're protecting ourselves, we are starting out against the current. So willingness, just as a little preface, is the first guide, because it's just about, that's just the first decision we need to make is, yeah, I'm willing to give it a try. And then the door is open. And vulnerability is the second guide, my favorite guide of all of them. And I can't say enough about it. I just love being vulnerable. And I just, that's the longest chapter in my book. We can't, to me, vulnerability is non-negotiable when it comes to socializing, when it even comes to connection. There's no way that we can fully connect with another or even ourselves if we aren't vulnerable. Otherwise, we'd all be just robots, muting ourselves and being emotionless, right? Not sharing anything for fear that, you know, we'll get shunned. So I discuss just the gift of vulnerability and the relationship that we all have with vulnerability. And I even go into ways to tap, to allow our vulnerabilities to blossom and come out more. And then the third guide is gratitude. And gratitude, I know it seems like it's overused. When I thought of it, I thought, really? You're going to jump on that bandwagon? But yeah, I'm sorry, I am. And I'll tell you why, because in the face of being grateful about anything, we are being present. We can't be feeling like, thanks, Robert, for having me on this show. I really appreciate you sharing me with your listeners. And having that gratitude in that moment puts me in that moment. The very gratitude of the moment reminds us we're in the moment. So it lifts us and keeps us present is the snippet on that. And intention being the fourth guide to socializing, basically, we'd be aimless and scattered if we didn't have an intention around anything. So especially when we're socializing, to create the intention to connect, to be willing and to create it, then we're connecting with ourselves in that moment, and we're saying that it is something that's going to be, which is way different than wanting something. Wanting something just gives us back the desire for wanting it. But setting an intention is like saying, oh, hi, Mom. My light just turned on and off. That's my mom saying hi.
sorry.
Okay. I thought
that was one of the examples.
She passed away. No, that's not an example. This is me being vulnerable, see? But when we create an intention, we're like saying it is so. It's almost like we're making a plan. Like, okay, here's what I'm going to do is so, and here's how I'm going to get there. And then the last guide is presence, crucial for life, crucial for connection, crucial for an enriched existence, I believe, let alone socializing. So those are the five guides. Were there any questions?
No, I think that was, I wanted to make sure, you know, we got those in there because, you know, each of those, I mean, if, you know, once someone reads the book, they're going to understand the basically socializing and soulizing are going to be, you know, they're two completely different things. And I think that once people recognize the difference, I think people are going to be drawn to soulize so much more because it has, there's so much more depth and meaning to it. And it, to me, you know, the connection that is made by using those guides are invaluable, really.
Well, I hope so, Robert. That was my intention when I share them, and I'm just so passionate about revealing our true selves and about, you know, coming out of hiding and just freeing ourselves and connecting and feeling that sense of oneness and unity with everyone and our soul included, not to be the last. So thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you spending the time talking with us. And also, I'm glad that your mom joined in here the last minute, kind of for approval of the discussion. And any final words you may want to leave the listeners with that maybe we didn't cover that you really kind of want them to think about?
I just maybe saying that that soul courage will never let you down. It will never let you down. Like if it seems scary or it seems like, we all have it, and it's just a matter of activating it. And they won't let you down because the very activation of it creates connection. Initial connection with yourself. So it's there. And I'm just so happy that you allowed me this platform to bring awareness of it. And I hope that it enriches the lives of others.
Well, I really appreciate your time. I enjoyed your book, and it's one I'll be referring to a lot. And your creative verbiage I will be using, of course, referencing back
thank you.
To you. So anyway, I appreciate it again. And
thank
I look
you
forward
so
to
much,
following,
Robert.
Following you on social media as well. So.
Oh, please do. Oh, thanks for staying in touch and connected. Thanks so much.
Good. You're very welcome. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Tyra Janelle Walsh, and we've been talking about her book, Soul Courage, Watch What Happens. Again, you can find out more about her book and other offerings by visiting Tyra's website, which is www.soulcourage.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So, everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.